This is Doug Miller. Well, what are friends for anyway? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are delighted to be back with you one more time with this word in hand to speak into this microphone to know indeed that the word is going out in power and will change lives and will do everything that our Lord and our God intends for it to do. That's his promise. My business is just to put the word out there. So come along, bring your Bibles. We're in the book of Job, and we are in the second chapter. We'll begin with the 11th verse today. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And as you've heard me say many times, if you've been listening to Dialogue to this end, we require your assistance. If you are saved, if you are indeed one of the Lord's people, then you have access to the very throne, and your prayers, more perhaps than anything, are what keep us on this in this business and keep this word going out. We have many enemies out there. Many of them are unseen. Not all of them are, but we need your prayers. So write Dialogue down and pray for us and tell others about us, please. We need this. Now, also, we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners, to know that you're there, to answer any questions that you might have, to do anything for you that we can do to help you out, provide you with any materials that we may, everything that we have. If we've got it and we can turn loose of it, you can have it. We are here to help you with no strings attached, and I mean no strings. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to look at our webpage and listen to any of the programs that we've got on there and read about Dialogue, it is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And you can read to your heart's content and listen to your heart's content, I guess. Depends on how contented your heart is with reading and listening, okay? If you want to talk to me, we've got a phone number. Get ready to write. Area code 405-535-9089. That is 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, but that's okay. Just leave a message, and I'll get back with you just as soon as I am able. All right. Open up to Job now. Let's get into this blessed word. What a book this is. As you heard me say, if you've been listening now, remember and never forget it. Job is a book primarily about grace. If you say, well, I mean, this guy suffered a lot. Yeah, he suffered. Yes, he had problems. Yes, so do you have. So do I. But What's the answer to this? Well, the answer ever and always is grace, and that's what the book is about. And if you ask, you know, well, why did God turn Job over to Satan to be treated with in this way? Well, we'll be dealing with that. We will deal with that, and so come along. Let's see what we've got here. Now, I asked at the first, you know, what are friends for anyway? We have in verse 11 of chapter 2 an introduction of three men who don't come off very well in this book. And if you've ever read the book of Job or ever heard anyone talk about the book of Job, I am sure you've heard talk of Job's three friends. And here they are, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. Did I get those names right? I think I did. Here they are, Job's three friends, or Job's comforters, if you want to call them that. This has become a byword, not just in English, but in a lot of languages. Anywhere the Bible has been translated, we hear of Job's comforters. And what do you hear them as? Well, generally, someone who comes ostensibly to comfort you, but just makes matters worse. Someone who doesn't know what he or she is doing, or maybe someone who is downright evilly intended toward you. Well, let me kind of stick up for Job's comforters here, Job's three friends. And let me say a few good things about them. One thing good is they did come, didn't they? They came to mourn with Job and to comfort Job because they had heard everything that happened to him. Now, this is the word of God. If you are looking for ulterior motives for what these men were doing and why they were doing it, you can stop it right now. All I can go on is what the Word of God says. And the Word of God tells me in verse 11 here that they heard of the evil that came upon him, and they came together to mourn with him and to comfort him. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Very commendable, in fact. I was speaking at a funeral one time, and I really hadn't planned on saying anything about this at all, but this is one of those cases where I really feel like, you know, the Lord just prompted me to say this. I looked out. The room was full, this little chapel where the funeral was being held. It was a chapel in a funeral home, and the room was full. A lot of people out there. And here were individuals. I knew many of them. Many of them I didn't know. But it occurred to me all of a sudden, these were individuals very much like Job's friends here. And I told them at the time. I said, you know, you hear a lot of bad things about Job's comforters. But let me say something good about them. They heard that he was grieving, and they came to be with him. You who are here in this room today, you may not have anything to say. You may not know what to say. And what you say is not important. It is extremely important, however, that you are here, and that the family can look around and see who is here and just reflect on who came. Who came? Who didn't come? Who ignored us at this time? Let me tell you something. It makes a difference. And what you say isn't always important at all. It's your being there. They came, and in fact, we learn later on that they didn't say a word for 7 days. Well, it probably had been just as well if they had never said a word the entire time. Because when they started talking, what they talked and what they said was wrong. And God reproves them for it. And we will look at this later on. But right now, let's just look at these people. They came. They came to mourn with him. They came to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. This guy looked so bad, his friends didn't even recognize him. Man, think about that one. They didn't even recognize him. And if they didn't recognize him, I don't know how they knew this was Job. Someone apparently pointed him out. There he is, sitting outside where the trash is emptied, out there covered with boils and sores, and all by himself. Isn't that amazing that his friends had to come from afar off to comfort him, and that the people who lived in this community with him apparently weren't out there at all? And that included his wife. That included others who were related to him. Here are individuals who had been happy to live with Job when he was rich and powerful, but now they don't know him, apparently. But his friends came, and they, we notice here, rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Once again, there's a time to speak, there's a time to keep silence, and these men were wise enough to let Job speak first. And we're not going to hear from them for a while. Let's hear, however, from Job. Job does not understand what's happening to him any more than these men understand what's happening to him. Job has a view of God and an idea and an understanding of God that doesn't go much beyond the idea that if I am good, then God owes me goodness in return. And this gets very confusing. And some of you who are listening to me, if that's what you think, I want to tell you something. God is building for eternity. He is building for eternity. And if you are saved, then God is building things into you that will glorify him throughout eternity. Now, if you're listening to me and you are not saved, I want you to get this and get this real quickly, and don't you forget it. If you are not saved, are you going to suffer? Absolutely. If you're saved, are you going to suffer? Absolutely. There will be times of suffering and pain, and we all are going to go through that, the saved and the unsaved alike. Here is the difference. Where you are a saved individual, when you are going through difficult times and suffering and pain, understand this. God's hand is upon you. He is the one who has put you into the oven of affliction. He knows exactly how long to keep you in there, and he is doing this for a purpose. We can always hold on to Romans 8:28, and I pray you'll listen to me. Get hold of Romans 8:28 and hang on to that like a bulldog. Don't you dare let go of it. All things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. You may not understand these things, and you won't understand them. You're going to go through things you won't understand. But remember, God is working for good. Now, if you're not saved, your suffering is basically to no end at all. It's not doing you any good. It's not doing anyone any good. It is a waste of, it may be now, let me kind of back off that a little bit. It may be that the Lord's trying to get your attention. It may be that people are praying for you that you will be saved. And your suffering may be something, the Lord may intend this to drive you to him, to drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to cry out to him for mercy and in repentance. It may be to that end. But as far as building any kind of character or anything in you that glorifies the Lord, I'm afraid not. That's for His children. That's for those who are saved. And those are the ones who will look back later and say, praise the Lord, those were the best days of the whole deal. If you're not saved, you better get saved. That's what you need to be thinking about. Well, let's see how Job deals with this. We've got some time here. Let's go right on down into chapter 3. And remember, Job is going through a learning experience here. At this point, Job does not understand at all what is happening to him or why it is happening. And all he can think of, well, let's see what he can think of. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. I want you to just compare this with what Paul wrote about himself back in 2 Corinthians and in Philippians. Let's just go back and read some in Philippians. Hold your place there in Job and look at the third chapter of Philippians. There's also, of course, that very famous passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about the suffering that he's gone through. But let's look at this passage in Philippians 3 where he says this. And this is just very brief. He doesn't go into a lot of details here. He says here, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom, look at this, I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or offal or refuse. Skubala is the word in Greek. I count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and so on. Now look at this. Job suffered the loss of everything that he had, as far as his, you know, wealth and prosperity and so on and so forth. He lost it all. And here he is with nothing, sitting out in the refuse heap, scraping himself with a piece of a shard of broken pottery. And look at his reaction. Curse be the day that I was born. Now let's look at Paul. Paul says flatly that he has suffered the loss of all things. He was driven out from the community. His family probably wouldn't have anything to do with him. His people, the Jews, wanted to kill him. He had lost all things. And he had been out here on the missionary trail and out here preaching the gospel. And it was tough out there. His reaction, it's nothing. It's nothing. He is rejoicing and thanking God and that I may know Him. Boy, is there a difference in Paul and Job? Yeah, there is. And the reason is the things Paul knew that Job didn't know. Paul knew that righteousness was not by the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that religion wasn't the answer to anything. Paul's desire was to know more about the Lord Jesus, who himself had suffered and been rejected and crucified. There's a big difference. And if you are a believer today, and you are going through suffering and pain and agony, and you don't know why, I can tell you why. Just in general. Now, I can't get down to the details and the particulars, but I can tell you kind of why. God intends to conform you to the image of His Son. That's what His business is. That I may know Him, said Paul. one of two ways you can approach it. You can either look up and thank God and say, oh Father, I don't know why this is happening except in general, but I know that Paul wrote, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And you can give thanks. Otherwise, what are you left with? You're left with what Job did. Let's look at some more of it back in the third chapter of Job. Let the day perish, he says, wherein I was born, the night in which it was said, there's a man shall conceive. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Well, that's down through verse 9 of chapter 3. That's down through verse 9. And we're gonna see a lot of this out of Job. Here is Job who wishes he had been born dead, who wishes even more than that he had never even been conceived. He would, according to him, be spared all of this. You know, you might think, well, why didn't he suicide? Well, I don't know, but he didn't. He didn't. He wasn't going to do that. You know, suicide is kind of an epidemic thing in our society today, isn't it? Many of you out there listening to me right now know someone who has suicided. You may have people in your family, children, whoever. I don't know. I always know this. I know I have had close people that I know who have suicided. It always shocks me. It's a sad thing, and yet, which one of us at some time or another haven't thought about this? I believe it was Friedrich Nietzsche. In fact, I know it was Friedrich Nietzsche who said the thought of suicide's gotten man through many a bad night. Well, that's not the answer, friends. Nor is the answer sitting around saying what Job is saying here. And yet, once again, Job doesn't understand what's going on here. In Job's limited theology, he can't figure it out. And Job's theology and his idea of God is limited. He is going to have his thinking and his faith expanded greatly during this experience, but he's not there yet, and he's got a long way to go. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. Come back next week, and we'll see some more. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.